Good morning. It's the day the Lord hath made. Oh, Roy, I missed it last week, I tell you what. I'm going to open with the same line that I opened last week. I'm going to stand alongside King David. I'm going to stand next to the Apostle Paul, and I'm going to continue to boast in the word of the Lord. My boast is in the word of the Lord. My boast is in the word of the Lord. In the world of chaos in which we live today, it is the word that is your friend. It is the word that is your comfort. It is the word that will be your counsel. It is the word that will be your wisdom. And as the old timers in the old gospel song used to sing, the word in Jesus, he's my mind regulator. How many of you need a mind regulator? The old saints used to sing about my mind regulator. That's what we all need. And you know what this word also is? It's your retirement plan. It is your retirement plan. Today we're talking about chaos in the world, and know this about chaos. God doesn't create chaos. Now when God steps back and takes his hand off the wheel, there's going to be what? Chaos. 1 Corinthians 14 verse 33 in the Message Bible says, God doesn't stir us up into confusion or chaos, but rather he brings us into harmony. I love harmony. I think one of the problems today in the world, especially in our worship right now, we've lost the concept of harmony. We listen to the song, some of the songs on the radio are good to sing by yourself. They're not worship songs for a congregation, but you hear a lot of unison thing there, and we don't know how to sing harmony anymore. When we had old books, and we would teach harmony, we teach parts, two-part harmony, three-part harmony, four-part harmonies, and let me tell you, there is a richness that fills there, and it feels good when you hear harmony. Chaos, here's what we know. Have you ever felt like you're in chaos? You know what I mean. You feel like you've been living in a clothes dryer. You know, that sort of thing. Chaos is a confused mass or a mixture of things. It is the disarray or the lack of organization. Actually, it is the state of utter confusion, one definition says. We have found out now that it has become the stimulus of the culture today. Chaos. As long as we can create chaos, people are uneasy. Their eyes are not on what's really going on in their lives, in their homes, in their jobs, and even in this world right now. It surrounds us. People are concerned. Somebody asked me a few weeks ago, are we in the last days? I said, I don't know if we're in the last days, but no, she said, are we at the end? I said, I don't know if we're at the end yet, but I know we're at the beginning of the end. That's kind of what I'm feeling right now in my heart right now. But our families, and by the way, because lives are in chaos, do the spokes. The families are in chaos. Cities are in chaos. Our world is in chaos. Sometimes people don't want to be in their homes because there's chaos in their home. I read a story that was on a news line just a few weeks ago in the Kansas City area. A man and his wife had a fight and things had been going very bad. True story. It was in a news story. I got the copy of it on my computer. And he went and robbed the bank. He went and robbed a bank, and after he robbed the bank, he went and sat down on one of the chairs in the lobby at the bank. And when they walked in, he said, I'm your man, I'm the one. He said, what's your problem? He said, I just don't want to go. I'd rather go to jail than to go back home and to live with her right now. True story. I got the story. I'd rather go to jail than to live with that woman. Troy, don't laugh too hard. True story. I got the news. I'd rather go to jail than to live with that woman. So he comes before the court a few days later. The judge listens to the story, and the judge sentenced him to 6 months home confinement. True story. True story. I promise you, I have the news. I've seen it. Talk about chaos. We were not designed to live in chaos. That's why we feel uneasy. Chaos will make your life uneasy. In any area, chaos will help birth fear in our lives. Chaos will also help you. You'll be constantly second guessing yourself. You're uneasy when there's a chaotic thing inside. And on top of it, have you ever had a day where it seems like things have been going crazy? And if you really looked at how much time you actually punched the clock, it wasn't anything other but just a normal, maybe even less. But when you laid your head down, you were worn out. Chaos will wear you out. It will wear you out. You are worn out. It will wear you out physically. It will wear you out emotionally. In fact, it starts there first, and then physically. Chaos will break you down. Chaos will conquer you. But there's a place where we can control much of the chaos, and we start on the inside. I told you last week there was four areas. We need to take charge of what we can. We need to make changes. We need to take detours in our lives. We need to set boundaries on things as we evaluate that create chaos. We're not going to be able to control everything, but there are times, even I told you last week about the Jesus actually sidestepping the chaos and the disciples moving away from it. They didn't solve it, but they removed themselves from it. And I want to encourage you, but even then, after we do these things, we evaluate, we make changes, we set boundaries, it's still going on. Even then, how do you stand? Though, how do you remain steady? How do you keep your sanity? How do you remain faithful to the call and the thing that God has put inside of you? The key is faithful to God's word, because it is the only true foundation. Who has the word in the lap? Stand to your feet. This is the key. This is the only key. This is the only foundation. I want you to raise it up high. I want to hear you say it as loud as you can. Ready? This word is wise. It has everything to do with my life and my future. It is my first call, not my last resort. It is the foundation of my life. Do it one more time. This word is wise. It has everything to do with my life and my future. It is my first call, not my last resort. Big line. It is the foundation of my life. God bless you. People say, well, you just need to think good thoughts. You need to think good thoughts. You need to just be thinking good things, rainbows, butterflies, everything. And you need to think good thoughts. Think good thoughts. Think good. That'll change. No, it doesn't change a thing. But somebody said, well, I got faith. You don't need all the faith in the world either. You need to have it as the foundation where it says faith targeted, focused toward God. That's the foundation. What is faith? Faith is believing in God's character. Faith is believing in the character of God in our lives. That's a little extra there for you. But what is, we're dealing with chaos and how to work in here first. Timothy Keller, who went to heaven last week, said true worship does not come from meditation in general. Think good thoughts. But through meditation on Scripture in particular. Now you're not going to be able to, you don't need a whole chapter, but find three or four verses and spend every 5 days on it and look at it, meditate, read it in a different translation every day. Look at it, then take just a moment, and it's not seeing how fast you can read it, but take your time with the words, each word, look at them, compare them. These are things that work inside, because you got to understand, here's part of our problems. In an unregenerated world, and really, it starts with an unregenerated life that will refuse to do three things: to recognize God, to honor God, to adhere to His word. Look at that very carefully. In a life that will not recognize God, that will not, I don't mean, hey, there is God, but I mean the recognition that's God. It says we come to God, first you got to know one thing: there is a God. Just somebody can't get out of the box yet. You come to God, you know He is a God. Recognize God, honor God, and adhere to His word. See, because if this is why this is not happening today, and when you see this in a life, in a nation, in a world, you can expect chaos. By the way, here's a fact. What we believe is a good predictor of the level of chaos in our individual lives. What we believe, it's very important. Don't be surprised at the chaos. Linda always says, I can't believe. Believe it, baby. Believe it. Believe it. But because you are coming from a belief system that's totally, your starting point is totally different. But we've been warned. The scripture warned us. Paul warned a young man last week, only one verse. Timothy, you should know this, that in the last days there will be very difficult times. Or the King James, New King James says, there will be perilous times. Another sign of the last days is the concept that men will be unfaithful. And today, man is unfaithful in everything. He's unfaithful in his life. in his home, in his family, in work, in ever-changing morals, a changing scale. Unfaithful man. Today, they're unfaithful in everything. Faithful is a great word. Faithful is a great word. Have you ever said faithful? When you see the word faithful, faithful connotates something that's solid, something dependable. You can put your weight down. It is solid. It's faithful. That's the way we want to be right now. And by the way, wrapped in the word faithful, if you look and look a little close, you see the word trust. God can trust us to keep his word. Building trust, though, is connected with faithfulness. Building trust, you know, the young kid, he had to show that he could take care of little things before he was allowed a car, the bigger car, or things like that. And it takes time to be, you got to be faithful so that trust can be built. The problem with trust is trust can take years to earn, but take seconds to lose. Seconds to lose, it's gone. That's a problem. And when trust is broken, when any trust is broken, there's a problem. For example, us against God. When that trust, and we're saying, God, you've not been there, and you, that thing has broken inside of you, that's a problem. And then on the other side, and we're going to read through scriptures in a minute, when God looks at us, when that trust is broken, there's a problem. Last week we spoke about a great exchange going on. The exchange is exchanging peace for chaos. And we must do that which is profitable. We must exchange the right things. We must be teaching the concept of the right exchange. What are we giving for our soul, the concept said. Mark chapter 8, Jesus said, "For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul?" The New Living says right there, of what benefit would it be to him? There are benefits. Be careful what we're exchanging. We remind you of the Jacob and Esau encounter where a physical, fleshly hunger resulted in the exchange of that which was sacred, that birthright, that blessing that was imparted there. What an awful exchange that was. And he says in verse 37, "Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" We look at the warning today. God's looking for people who will be faithful. Faithful in what is in their hands. Faithful in what is right. Faithful. You see the word with the Marines, always faithful. We talk about the word fidelity. Those of us who are 60s kids, in your house, your parents had a big piece of furniture. It was probably about this big. It was this big. And it was called the hi-fi. How many of you had the hi-fi there and you had that sound there and you had those speakers? I remember hours laying there right in the middle with my head so I could find out where the speaker, and we were trying to figure out the, and you got the word hi-fi, high fidelity right now. Hi-fi is shortened for high fidelity, high quality. I'm not going to go into the full things of it and the levels of it, but the concept is that it is faithful in reproducing the original sound. That's why you see a lot of people going back buying the vinyl records again, and you can hear things on it because everything is so clean on these digital things like that, and the levels are all controlled there, and you don't get a lot of the kick, a lot of the dynamics, a lot of things that made you bob your head when you heard those things. You don't hear those little nuances there because it's all been taken out. Well, the Lord wants us to be a faithful reproduction of the thing that's inside of us. I thought that was a great thought. I thought you'd really be excited about it. Bottom line, I wrote it in here. We're in this mess because carnal flesh man has been faithful to their flesh, not to God. That created the chaos, and that does not sound good to God. Wow. It doesn't sound good to God. I said it last week. I want to honor God. And sometimes I check the box on all three of these things, but I don't want to be here. Stubborn, I've been told that. Rebellious, I heard that forever. Unfaithful, I'm trying my best. Where did I get those words? Why these words? These words came from Psalm 78. These three words are enemies of faithfulness. Okay? These three words are enemies of faithfulness. Let's go a little bit deeper right now. I only read a few verse, three verses last week, but it's quite a story, and I want you to lean in because there is a direct correlation between faithfulness and chaos. Lack of faithfulness is chaos. Now, here's what's going to happen. If you have right now, if you have your Bible, I'm in the New Living right now. I'm not going to be able to read all of these verses. I'm going to paraphrase a lot of them, but I'm going to read a lot. So follow along with me right now. This is a, you know what I really would call, I wrote in the margin, this is a roller coaster chapter in history and instruction. This chapter actually was not written by David. It was written by one of his main worship leaders. His name was Asaph. And they were just, they were brothers together. Now listen to this. Let's read it. Verse 1 through 8. O my people, listen to my instruction. Stop right there. The King James Version says, give ear to my law. Okay? Now notice what we're doing. We're giving a history lesson, and we're showing the parallels between lack of faithfulness bringing chaos. So, and by the way, when you see give ear to my law, when you read that, that statement is made 32 times in the Old Testament. That statement is not made at all in the New Testament. It's in our hearts. I'll read it again. Oh, my people, listen to my instructions. Open your eyes and your ears to what I'm saying, for I will speak in a parable. Now, notice these I will things. I will speak to you in a parable. I will teach you hidden lessons from our past. There's a lot of lessons there, y'all. A lot of lessons. Stories we have heard and known. Stories our ancestors have handed down to us. These are going to be the primary, the stories of faithfulness and what God did, okay? We will not hide these truths from our children. What? Those coming up. We will tell the next generation about the glorious deeds of the Lord. We'll tell about his power, about his mighty wonders. For he issued his laws to Jacob. He gave his instructions to Israel. He commanded our ancestors to teach their children. Now remember that when we spent a long time in the books of Moses? Remember that with the children of Israel? And we begin to talk about, and he said, write them on your hand, write them on your forehead, write them in your house. Talk about them when you're getting up in the morning. Talk about when you're going about your business. Tell your children and your children's children so the next generation will know them. And I like this right now. Even the children not yet born. That's a very, very strong statement there. That shows you this truth is enduring to everlasting and everlasting. That is a great, great word. And they will in turn teach their own children. Why? So each generation, now notice that. Now, I'll come back to that in just a minute. So each generation might know them, even the children aren't born. So, and we should set our hope anew on God, not forgetting, that's a big thing, his glorious miracles and obeying his commands. Then they will not be like their ancestors who were what? Stubborn, rebellious, unfaithful. Why? They refused to give their hearts to God. Talking about the next generation, in the old days with the old tape, the way we would do it, and I talked to you how we used to splice them with razor blades, and as you made more passes on the tape, you'd lose a little something each time. There was a little thing actually on the tape you would lose, and you lose something in each generation. And what happens in a generation spiritually that in their life they make exchanges and exceptions in their lives, the next generation, it's a little bit more pronounced there. Thus, chaos comes right now. We want to do what is profitable. He wants us to model it to the next generation, and don't lose it as you tell it. I remember in UNO, we had a sociology class one time, and we had this assignment. It was based on the concept of the study of rumor. and we wrote a story. We wrote a short scenario in the deal, and part of this project, we had to go to different people, and we had to tell them a certain story and read the story to them, and then we would come back a day or so later, and we would ask them, and we were actually taping them, and it was amazing when you tell them the details that were forgotten in the story of just from a few days ago, and actually how different things changed in their story, and it was the study of rumor. Things change after a while. Let's jump up to verse 10. These same people, they didn't give their hearts to God. But verse 10, they did not keep God's covenant. They refused to live by his instruction. They forgot what he had done, the great wonders he had shown them, the miracles he did for their relatives in the land of Egypt. Now, I got to tell you, if they reject that, what do they sound like? They sound like stubborn, rebellious, and unfaithful to me. How did they forget it? I'm going to paraphrase a few things. He said, how did they forget this? And then he starts giving a history. He said he divided the sea for them. In daytime, he led them by the cloud. At night, the pillar of fire. He split rocks open and water came out of a rock. Those are all eyewitness miracles. But verse 17 said, yet, they kept sinning against him. Now, this is really dumb. Now, you want to see real dumb now? Dumb. This is dumb. This is way dumb. What's one of the hottest places on the planet? The desert. Watch this. They kept sinning against him, and they rebelled against the Most High in the desert. Now, that's dumb. That's dumb. They've already told the story how God brought the miracle there. They stubbornly tested God in their hearts. Not only in their hearts, but they started making demands to God. They demanded the foods they craved. Now watch this. They even spoke against God himself. They said, God can't give us food in the wilderness. These dummies were taunting God in the desert. Just ratchet up a few degrees, boys. Come on, you want to hear? Where's your God now? Oh yeah, he can strike a rock so water gushes out, but he can't even give his people bread and meat. I mean, talk about taunting God. That's stubborn. That's rebellious. That's unfaithful. That'd be like the Pharisees standing there when Jesus walked. Yeah, he walked on the water. I guess he can't swim then, huh? That kind of mindset. And if any of you ever wanted to know if God had a last nerve, here it is. And when God heard them, he was furious. The fire of his wrath burned against Jacob. Yes, his anger rose against Israel, for they did not believe God and they did not trust God to take care of them. Now you got a history behind them of God taking care of them. Verse 32, watch this. But in spite of this, what is that? But in spite of God's history of faithfulness to his people, he's going to give more in a minute. But in spite of this, the people kept sinning. That's stubborn. That's rebellious. That's unfaithful. That's stupid. They refused to trust him. Therefore, expect chaos. Watch this. Remember I said the correlation between faithfulness and chaos? So he ended their lives in failure. That's it. I mean, just boom, it's over, period. He ended their lives in failure and the rest of their years were lived out in terror. I love this thing. This is pretty cool. So when God began killing them, they finally sought him. How many of that'll do it? When God started killing them, they decided to seek God. It's like they had a revelation. And it says, and I love this translation. It says, and they repented and they took God seriously. And God's thinking, here we go again. But why did it always take a whipping? You've heard the comedy stories. Some of our kids, we all had a kid that couldn't sleep till he had his whipping. Couldn't sleep until you get your bottom hit a couple times so you can rest. This one was not that way. He threw us. We raised this crazy thing and wouldn't sleep and things like that. And this one comes along and three, four, and five years old, walk in with his pillow and say, good night, I'm going to bed. Never seen a child do that before. And the other one's swinging like the flying Walendas in his room, you know. Here we go again. Why did it always take that? They may have been faithful. No, I read this. I looked at it a long time, and I wrote this sentence. They may have been faithful in the mechanics, you know, the mechanics, but they were not faithful in their hearts. You got it? They were stubborn in their heart. They saw all those things, and they were still rebellious, and they were unfaithful to God. Now, watch this. By the way, don't get too much hope in this, but it's what it says in verse 35. Remember where it says they took God seriously? Next verse. Then they remembered. God had explained it to them, right? They remembered that God was their rock, that God Most High was their Redeemer. Now, shouldn't that be the end of the story? Listen to these geniuses, verse 36. But yet, all they gave him was lip service. Remember I said, in the mechanics they honored God, but in their heart they did not. And they lied to God with their tongues. Here's how I know. Their hearts were not loyal to him. They did not keep his commandment, his covenant, meaning they did not keep his promises. Yet, you see the character. God, boy, you talk about long-suffering God. Yet he was merciful. He forgave their sins. He did not destroy them all. But many times he held back his anger and did not unleash his fury. I'm not going to read a lot of verses for right now. But as you go for the next few verses, even in verse 39, it said God remembered, God was reminded that it says they were just merely mortal, gone like the breath of the wind that never returns. Again and again, they tested God's patience. They provoked him. They didn't seem to remember his power. They didn't remember or honor the miraculous signs that delivered them from Egypt when he turned the rivers into blood. He sent the swarm of flies, the hordes of frog, the crops to caterpillars. Their harvest was consumed by locusts. He destroyed their grapevines, scattered the sycamore trees, abandoned their cattle to hailstorms, the livestock to lightning. He loosed on them his fierce anger. He dispatched against them the destroying angels. His anger turned against them. He did not spare the Egyptians. He killed their oldest son, the flower of youth, throughout the land of Egypt. But he led his children like a flock, guiding them. And in verse 53, he kept them safe so they were not afraid. But the sea covered their enemies. Verse 54, he brought them to the border of the Holy Land. He had won for them. He drove out the nations. He gave them their inheritance. He settled the tribes of Israel in their home. Shouldn't that be enough? Shouldn't that be enough? And together we read verse 56. But they kept testing and rebelling against God Most High. They did not obey his laws. Are you seeing a pattern here? They're living in chaos. They're living in chaos. After all of this, after all the history, verse 57, they turned back and they were as faithless as their parents. Wow. Their parents goofed up on the Teach Generation Challenge. As Hank Jr. said, they're just keeping up the family tradition. And notice this, they were as undependable or faithless and unfaithful as a crooked bow. A crooked bow, you've heard about the gang that couldn't shoot straight? Well, if you're trying to be a hunter and if your bow's crooked and the sight is off, that arrow's going to do that. They were as undependable as a crooked bow. They angered God. They didn't just do stupid things. They upped the ante every time they got a chance. This is what flesh man does. And they built shrines to other gods. They made him jealous with their idols. They were violating the very first thing. No other gods before me. They were violating the graven image edict out of the word of God right now. So when God heard them, he was very angry. He completely rejected Israel. Then you see active words. I'm not going to read all of them, but you can follow up later. In fact, I'm going to encourage you to spend some time this week reading all of chapter 78. Because it said God abandoned them. He allowed the ark to be captured. He surrendered his glory to enemy hands. He gave his people over to be butchered by the sword. He was so angry with his own people. It said, and then finally the Lord woke up from a sleep kind of and said, I've had enough. And in verse 67, he delivered them. It said he delivered them, but it says he rejected Joseph's descendants. He did not choose the tribe of Ephraim. But why? Because they had not been faithful with God, with God had charged them to be. He chose instead worshipers. He chose the people that moved toward God, that served God, that praised God. Instead, he chose the tribe of Judah and Mount Zion, which he loved. And it was there, by the way, you want to know where God's going to be? You start praising God. You start talking about the goodness of God. And he said, and it was there that he built his sanctuary as high as the heavens, as solid and enduring as the earth. But he chose his servant David. He called him from the sheep pens. History proves the children of Israel were continually unfaithful. As a result, they continued to live in chaos. But notice, God promoted the faithful one. God promoted the faithful one. It said he took David. He took David. This is telling me, stay faithful where you are. He's going to take you where he wants you. He said he took David from tending the ewes and the lambs. He remained a shepherd, but the office was a bit deeper and a bit higher. And he made him the shepherd of Jacob's descendants. Isn't it? The word is really, really, really beautiful when you see things. For example, Jesus is talking about the fishermen. He said, you guys like to fish? You follow me. I'm going to give you bigger fish. Fishers of men. That's God just lovingly does that so humans can understand that right now. Children of Israel had been unfaithful over and over and over there. He made him the shepherd. And notice it said about David, he cared for them with a true heart, and he led them with skillful hands. Your assignment this week is to go through Psalm 78 for a while. And you cannot, by the way, you can't understand faithfulness without first looking at the enduring faithfulness that God had toward man, the love that he had toward man. And you need to know that he is faithful. Last week I opened with a deeper verse, but today's just the fragment of that verse in Psalm 89:8, where David shouts out, "Oh, Lord God of heaven's armies, you are entirely faithful. You are entirely faithful." And you know, we did weeks on that statement, "Oh, Lord God of heaven's armies." That is the strongest, that is the full extent of God's power and law behind that statement. And as we imitate our Heavenly Father, he wants us to be faithful. Be like David. Man, there was rough patches there, but he stayed faithful and God moved him when the time was right. Here's what some of you need to know right now. You need to know what the writer in Lamentations said, the faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. We'd sing, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning, new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness, O God. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is your faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning. And I say, by the way, where do you say? You say in your mouth. I say to myself, that's my mind. The Lord is my inheritance. You need to tell yourself over and over. Therefore, I will hope in him. The Lord is good to those who depend on him, to those who search for him. In the middle of the chaos, this is a good thing to remember. And there are three areas. I told you, and I'm going to come back one day. I'm going to take each one of the three and spend a whole day on each one of them right now. But I'm just going to give them to you right now. There are three areas, if we're going to be faithful in the chaos, there are three areas where we must be faithful. It is required upon us. Don't ask God to do a magic trick if you're not available to do these certain things that he wants us. Number one, number two, number three. He wants us to be faithful in our minds. In our minds. That means our thoughts regarding ourselves, regarding God, regarding others, regarding what the word are. And he wants us to be faithful in our message. The words, that the words of my mouth, the meditation of my be acceptable. And these words are very strong. We spoke about the words this morning and the power. And then the next, in our mission. That means our daily walk. As the old advertisement used to be, that's where the rubber meets the road. That's where it happens. It's one thing for you to jump on. I've been in two meetings mini-me's where people were jumping and laughing and spinning like tops and just rejoicing in all their blessings. And boy, if you crossed them or you got in their way in the parking place, they'd give it to you and they'd forget that little blessing they were spinning about just a few minutes ago. I've seen those things. I've watched those things. And that deals with the rubber meeting the road, the mission as we walk. So what's the bottom line as we get ready to walk out of here today? We're talking about the concept of how do we remain faithful in the chaos? It's our mind, our message, our mission. It is all grounded in the Word of God. It's all grounded in the Word of the Lord today. It's grounded in the validity of the Word of God. So what have you learned in two messages? What kind of trait does God respond to? Bingo. He responds to faithfulness. Read what the children of Israel did in Psalm 78 and how God responded to rebellious, stubborn, unfaithful. But I'm here to tell you right now, even in the chaos, Psalm 31:23, it says, the Lord preserves the faithful. It's all around you. You might not even be removed. You can remove yourself from some of it. Some of you keep going back to it. Stop that foolishness. I preached a message a few years ago. Stop going back to what God has already delivered you from. Run. As it says, as Solomon wrote in Proverbs, run, Forrest, run. When you see it coming at you, run the other way. Don't keep going back to what God has delivered you from. The Lord will preserve the faithful. It doesn't say the spectacular. It doesn't say the cool. It doesn't say the one who works the longest and the hardest. The one who has good words and who's eloquent. No, the Lord preserves the faithful. It's just that simple. Even in the chaos, remember this. And if you find yourself in a spot where you're like those people in Psalm 78 that were described as stubborn, rebellious, and unfaithful, don't be sad and upset. Just see it. Thank you, God. That's a little bumper. We used to take the boys bowling when they were little, and they put those things where you never go in the gutter. That's what the Word does. If you'll stay within the Word, you're not going to go in the gutter. You're not going to go off to the side. It just rolls you straight on down there, and you're headed down there. And you might be wobbling going down there. You might be moving and trying to get it to do different things there, but you're faithful to it. Walk out. Walk out. You can be faithful even in the chaos when all hell is breaking loose around you. That's the freedom that comes by knowing the Word. I didn't plan to give this at this point, but I think it sets for this weekend that we celebrate. There's freedom in our word. There's freedom in the word that comes out of our mouth because of the foundation that's inside of us. It's all, this word is true. This word is wise. This word has everything to do with your life. There's freedom that comes. By the way, there's no freedom without understanding the freedom that Jesus gives. Bill and Gloria Gaither wrote this, let freedom ring wherever minds know what it means to be in chains. Let freedom ring wherever hearts know pain. Let freedom echo through the lonely streets where prisons have no key. We can be free and we can sing, let freedom ring.